G'day, welcome to Partakers. This is a series of studies called Luke Looks Back, based in the Gospel of Luke, and is presented to us by Roger Kirby. Over to you, Roger.
This is study 5 from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. We will call it the announcement of the Messiah in his hometown. We start off this study with a question to get everyone talking about themselves. First question then, where was your hometown? What was or is memorable about it? And as usual, I'll stop at that point for you to think that one out, and then my wife will read from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 23.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'"
Nazareth was the hometown of Jesus, where he grew up. It was a small village in the middle of the province of Galilee, mainly of Galileans, but including some Jews from the faraway province of Judea. The people of Galilee were often of mixed ancestry, so there is likely to have been considerable antagonism between them and the purer-blooded Judean Jews, who regarded themselves as the only proper Jews. As a result, Judean Jews of Nazareth, as the family of Jesus were most probably foreigners in their own community. The two slightly different peoples were probably not friendly to each other. That, not the best of places, was where Jesus spent most of his childhood days. Luke uses the story of what happened when Jesus read from the Old Testament book of Isaiah in the synagogue there to start explaining how we are to understand the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had to deal with a strong expectation among ordinary people that the Messiah would behave in certain ways. He had a major job to change that expectation. Jesus read just 1.5 verses from Isaiah 6. We will read more verses to get the context of what he read. We may assume his listeners knew the passage well, so that hearing the verses he read, they would immediately remember the following verses. Listen carefully to the picture these verses give. "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour," at which point Jesus stopped. But Isaiah continues, "And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendour. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Question 2 then. What would those verses have made them think Jesus was going to do if he really was the Messiah? What would they have been expecting him to call on them to do? Like many of the other passages in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah, these verses would have made them expect leadership in a successful military campaign against the Romans. Brothers called the Maccabees had led Israel against the Syrians 200 years earlier with great success. If Jesus did indeed establish himself as the Messiah, the men would expect to have to join his army. Of course, we know that such a venture would have been hopeless. The Roman armies were exceedingly difficult to beat. Only the most warlike of peoples in other parts of the empire had any success against them, and then not for very long. Question 3. The next half verse in Isaiah to the one Jesus read says, "And the day of vengeance of our God." He stopped without reading that out. What would that have suggested to the people who listened to him? I think they would have found it a great puzzle, which is why they listened to what he said next so carefully. He seemed to be promising that he would be a mighty spiritual leader, but not a war leader. They would have thought of the day of vengeance as the day when their God would bring the world they knew to an end with the defeat of the hated Romans. Next, we read verses 24 to 30 in this chapter of Luke.
"I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there are many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way."
Question 4. Jesus went on to remind them of the stories of the widow of Zarephath and Elijah. The story reads in part like this. "The word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan,'" which therefore was outside Israel over to the east. He did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine and stayed there. Sometime later the brook dried up. The word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there." And Sidon was on the coast, right over the other side of Israel, about as far from Zarephath as it could possibly be. And then Jesus went on to talk about Naaman and Elisha. And that story is about, reading a bit from 2 Kings, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram, and you will probably remember that he was cured of his leprosy by washing himself 7 times in the Jordan when he really wanted to do it in Damascus, which was where he lived quite some distance away. Again, not an Israelite situation. He was from Syria. He wanted to be cured in Syria. Why did Jesus mention these two episodes? What point was he making, apart from the obvious one of not in my hometown? All these places were outside Israel. He was saying that as they rejected him, he was going to go to other people outside Israel, to Gentiles, not to Jews. They didn't like that idea at all. Quite why he said something so provocative is a bit of a mystery. Question 5. If a politician wanting to influence people and starting off an election campaign was nearly lynched, murdered by a mob, as Jesus was, he would not be likely to get on very well. The story does not give a good impression of Jesus. Why does Luke tell us about this episode when he could so easily not have done so? What is it about the ministry of Jesus that Luke wants us to think about? Luke is expecting what he writes to be read mainly by Gentiles, by Romans. He has emphasized that the two great prophets, Elijah and Elisha, helped Gentiles. Christian faith is for all peoples, not any special nation or people group. Probably the fact that Jesus was rejected by the Jews like this made him sound better to a Roman, like Theophilus. But above and beyond that, Luke will have chosen this episode because it gives such a clear picture of what Jesus was going to do in his ministry. Question 6. It says, Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way. What does that suggest? It tells us that Jesus had an unusual air of authority about him. Perhaps, too, that angels protected him. Question 7. Looking now at the whole story, what two things is Jesus emphasizing by what he says and does that are of fundamental importance in our understanding of God and of faith? He has appealed to the scriptures of the Old Testament to establish who he is. And the scripture he read emphasized the work of the Spirit, both for preaching and healing. These are the two fundamental sources for our understanding, too, the scriptures and the Holy Spirit. Though we have, of course, the tremendous advantage of having the writings of the New Testament, as well as those of the Old.
Thanks, Roger. This series is on every Sunday, but as usual on Partakers, www.partakers.co.uk, there is something new available every day to inspire your Christian life.